to the Rock and Roll and Coffee Show. This is episode number 79. I'm your host, Joe Sebelia. Before we get started with this week's guest, please head on over to YouTube and find us over there. Just search the Rock and Roll and Coffee Show and go ahead and subscribe to our channel over there. It's brand new. We're just getting that going. So make sure you subscribe so you can be up to date as we post new podcast video interviews. Now, this week's guest is Cassidy Paris. Cassidy is from Australia and has been rocking since she was probably about 13 years old. She has a new EP that just came out entitled Flirt, and the newest single, Wannabe, is available on all streaming platforms, and on YouTube you can catch the video as well. Cassidy and I have a great conversation about what it's like working with her father, what it was like recording at such a young age, her new EP and new single, and what her future plans are. I expect to see big things from Cassidy in the near future. Had a great time talking with her. I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did. Thanks for listening.
Hello, how are you?
Cassidy, how are you?
Good, thank you.
What time is it there? I'm so confused.
It's currently 11. So if the lighting's a bit funny, 11 in the morning, mind you. Okay. So 11 a.m.
Okay. Yeah. When we were going back and forth, I was getting so confused on the time. I had no idea.
Yeah. Time zones really confuse me. Even when I'm traveling internationally, I'm like, where am I? What time is it?
Yeah. We are recording, by the way.
That's okay. No problems.
Okay. So yeah, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I've been wanting to do one of these for so long and such a big fan of the show.
Well, I appreciate it. So do you do a lot of podcasts?
I do. So yeah. When Wannabe was released, I was just wanted to jump at the opportunity because I watched the Bobby Brown one recently and I was like, oh, and I read her book and everything. So
did you?
Super cool.
Yeah, she is a cool one. I enjoyed that one. That was a fun one.
Yeah,
so I'm doing video now, as you can see. So hopefully I can get her back on here soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you have a new single out. It's been out for what, a couple months now?
It has.
And that's Wannabe?
Yes.
Okay. And that, let me get this straight. And that's on your EP Flirt?
It is on my EP Flirt. I released my second EP recently called Flirt, and I was really, really stoked to have this out because I've never put hard copy music out that has live stuff on it. And I think obviously there's definitely magic to live stuff, and I'm really feel like I'm connected to my music the most when I'm doing live stuff. So that was really exciting for me. But Wannabe was just, it was really the epitome of my high school experience. So it was cool for me to be able to put that one out.
Okay. So on your EP, how many songs are on there?
There's five.
Five songs. Okay.
Yes.
And they're not all live.
No. So three of them are recorded in the studio and two of them are live.
Okay. How was that recording live?
Yeah, I had such a blast. I have a really, really cool band, and I'm not sure if you know this. My dad, Steve Janewski, joins me on guitar in my band. So it's always right. Cool to be able to play with my father in the band. And I love the guys so much. They're such talented musos, and I'm just stoked to have it out there because it was really exactly what I wanted and exactly what I wanted to put out for people.
Awesome. Now let me ask you about your band. Who is in your band?
Yes. So my backing band consists of a couple of members of Wicked Smile, my dad's band,
right,
currently.
Right.
So I have Glenn Cav on bass guitar, Steve Janewski, my father, on lead guitar. Sorry, bass guitar, and then lead guitar is Steve Janewski, and Jason Tyre on drums.
Okay. Did they record on the album, on your songs?
No. So I work with Paul Lane. Right. I don't know if you're aware of the stuff that he's done, but he's a heavyweight in the industry, and I'm so privileged to be able to work with him. It's just been such a cool experience, and we've been writing together since I was probably 13 or 14. So I'm just very, very lucky and grateful to have him on my team and supporting me and guiding me in the music industry, because at the end of the day, it is a very difficult industry to kind of break into.
Sure.
And although I have my father, I have such an awesome support network around me. So Paul has always been such a driving force behind my music.
Okay. Now, your father, he was a big part of you becoming what you are now.
Yes.
So what age did you start getting into the music?
Yeah, for sure. So my dad has always exposed me to such a wide range of music. He always said to me when I was younger, a good song is a good song. So he never restricted purely rock music. We listened to a bunch of things, but rock music was obviously what I was drawn to. And we just kind of bonded through that. So he showed me my first favorite band. So like I've listened to Dokken since a young age. I've listened to Tesla. You can't see the t-shirt, but I am sporting a Tesla t-shirt today.
Nice.
I listened to seen Motley Crue. I've seen Kiss live. All of those little experiences, I think, led me to pursue music in the rock music industry and kind of get my foot in the door. But my dad was a huge influence on me from a young age. I remember standing in the crowd and just being in awe of him playing guitar. So it was it's such a cool experience, and I'm very, very grateful for that.
And what age did you start playing?
Yeah, so I started playing when I was six or seven. Vocals, okay. I picked up a little bit later, 9 or 10, I want to say. And I've never looked back. Vocals are obviously like my one true love, but guitar, I love guitar.
Yeah. So when did you realize that you could sing? Like, how did that happen?
I don't know if it was a realization thing. I think more I've always been singing, like, and I know a lot of singers will say the same thing, but I was singing in the shower, I was dancing around and singing my favorite rock songs from a very, very young age. There's footage on like home footage on like the really historic cameras that we fished out recently, and there's me just dancing around to like Dio and stuff when I was really young. So
that's great.
Now that's always cool. But I think one thing my dad really instilled in me is that you need to work hard in order to become a good singer. And I know that I'm always learning and I'm always going to be progressing, even when, and he says it himself, he says it, he's 49 and he's still learning. Like you're never going to be the best. You always have to progress and get better. And I think that was really important lesson for me to learn as a youngster, and I'll carry that through my entire journey.
Mm-hmm. Now your dad, I listened to his band too. I was curious and they're very good.
Thank you. Well, I say thank you on part of him.
Yeah. They have a little bit of an Iron Maiden sound, I thought.
Yes, definitely. It's kind of a fuse between like Iron Maiden, Skid Row. Like Wicked Smile is definitely my favorite stuff that my dad's ever produced. And he's been in a couple of things over the time being my father. So he's just so, so connected to the music. And I'm a fangirl, really, and I love showing up to their shows and hanging out with the guys. It's some of my favorite memories in the world.
Yeah. So what's your mom think through all this? Is she supportive of the music, the rock star?
She is. She has to live with two rock stars. So, and I say rock stars in quotation marks, but my mom's always been a huge supporter as well. And I think she was going to support me. My parents are very open and they just would support me in anything I choose to pursue. So I'm very, very lucky in that aspect. But when I chose to pick up the guitar and sing, I think my dad wasn't mad at all.
Yeah. It's a tough business though. So, but at least you got some good guidance.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, when you first went into the studio, you were pretty young, right?
Yes. I was 13. Yeah, I was 13. 13 when I headed into the studio for the first time. And I was recording my debut single, Talk About It. And that was just such a cool experience. Obviously having the ability to do that when I was 13 years old. Not many youngsters get that opportunity. So I was in awe of everything, taking it all in. And I actually traveled not long after that to Japan to do a couple of shows there. So I was 14 when I did that. And that was just a huge, huge eye-opening experience for me as a muso. I think that all of those memories have obviously shaped who I want to become as an artist and who I am now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So at 13 and 14, you're in a studio recording a single. Good song, by the way.
Thank you.
When you're 13, are you writing that or are you co-writing? What's going on there?
Yeah. So, Paul Lane came out for the first time to Australia, I think a couple of years prior to that. And I expressed an interest in music the first time he came over, and I knew what I wanted to do. And when he came over the second time, we sat down and had the conversation, and I was like, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to pursue. And it's like my one passion. I've been playing guitar for a couple of years. I've been singing and taking lessons for a couple of years prior to that as well. And I knew that I wanted to work with someone that was not only level-headed and knew like the ins and outs of the music industry, but also just a really killer songwriter. And I knew that I needed to learn. And I think my dad also knew that as well. So working with Paul has always been the most rewarding experience, because you just see how much passion and energy goes into the music that he produces and writes with artists. So sure. I think I've definitely learned a lot from that experience. So we co-write everything that I do, except for Give Me Your Aloe Vie, which he wrote and I kind of made my own.
Okay. So I assume you like co-writing with others?
Definitely. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Okay. What are some of your influences that you, like you mentioned the Dokken and Tesla and that whole sound, but what about your personal influences that you found?
For sure. I think it obviously varies. I know that I'm very aware that I'm a bridging artist. So I have elements of pop and rock. And obviously pop is anything, but mainstream pop is what I'm meaning and referring to. But I think definitely I have elements of like Joan Jett, Pat Benatar, Lita Ford. Those are some of my main female influences. And I love people like Eric Gromwell from Heat. Or ex-Heat now. He has been one of my ultimate influences since I was very young. I've always watched him, and just I think he's such an awesome performer. And then I love Steven Tyler from Aerosmith. I think he's awesome. One of those performers that I'll just never truly quite get over.
He's amazing.
So it's a range of people, and I think it's always changing. I love people like Lizzie Hale and Taylor Momsen from the Pretty Reckless. Like it's a range of people, and I think that I have elements of everyone, and I try to combine to make myself my own person. So that's
okay. Have you ever had a chance to meet any of your influences?
I have actually had a chance to meet one of my influences, but she's in a different sector of the music industry. I met Taylor Swift when I was really young.
Did you?
And she definitely shaped me as an artist as well. I think her connection with her fans is something that I really admired and looked up to, because obviously the fans are what makes you popular and what makes you an artist, really. If they're not listening, then, you know, it's nothing without them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Did you see her? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay.
Did you see her little film she did for, on Netflix maybe?
The Miss Americana? I'm a huge Taylor fan. So I'm a big fan of what she does and what she stands for. So it was super cool. And I was really young. I was like 9 years old when I met her. So having that experience, you know, she influenced me and she made me want to pursue music as well. So I hope that someday I have that effect on artists and artists to come.
Right. Right. Tell me about, let's go back a little bit to Japan.
Yes.
Now, how did that all play out? Like, how did you get shows in Japan and how'd it go?
For sure, yeah. Japan was just crazy good. I can't even explain how like lucky I was to have that experience, especially at that age as well. Right. My dad's band, the Radio Sun, were actually gigging there at the time as well. So I came over as a support to them. And I played a couple of shows and we obviously were aligned with, or the Radio Sun were aligned with a touring company over there. And we did a couple of shows and did a couple of signing sessions. And Japanese fans they're incredible. I've never met fans in the world like them. They're just so in tune with how to kind of communicate with people and obviously yeah. speak different languages, but they're just so, they love the music. They really, really do. And you can see it on their faces when you're singing the lyrics to your song. And it was just crazy. I couldn't even believe how awesome that experience was going to be. And I'll never take that for granted.
Were you nervous being that young?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That had to be horrifying.
This is something that I talk about a lot. I think the nerves have obviously gone away now because I've played a couple of shows and everything. And but yeah, heading over to Japan, it's a different country, so you don't know what it's going to be, how it's going to be received, obviously. Yeah. So after that, also did gig in Chicago. So I think that was a year later. I want to say, that was also a really, really cool opportunity. I played at a festival there and it was I think that was my first electric song that I did. So yeah, okay. That was pretty cool.
And was that with your dad?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Do you have plans of coming back to the US?
Absolutely. My management is actually located in the US. So any chance I get to come over to the US, I will. Definitely looking at like touring and heading over to the US very, very soon. So I'm very excited about that. And I've also got a UK tour in the works next year. So that's also equally exciting.
Nice, nice. Now, are you doing all this stuff on your own? Or is there a label backing you, or how's that working for you?
So I'm independent at the moment. I have management, like I said, in the US, but I'm working as an independent artist at the moment. I'm really, really happy with how things are going. Wannabe was my best received single to date. So yeah. I was really, really excited. And I had a lot of obviously support and people, networks and stuff sharing it. And I couldn't believe the response I was getting. I always say that I use this as an example. In high school, I couldn't believe how mean and horrible people could be. But it also showed me through music and everything how incredibly supportive people can be worldwide, because I had never met some of these people and they were sending me the most lovely, supportive messages. And it really, really did get me through what I was going through with bullying and everything in high school. So it was extremely uplifting.
What kind of kid were you in high school?
Yeah, I was definitely, you could say, the outcast to an extent. I had probably, I had a couple of friends, but a lot of people really didn't understand the music thing and didn't really understand what I was doing. Rock music was kind of like a taboo music genre in high school for me as well. It was I went to a school that was actually a music school. So they're supposed to have a really, really strong music program there. And I felt like I was not supported at all. So obviously I started off doing music there, but it was jazz music. So I kind of shifted away. No hate on jazz musicians. I just, I wasn't into it myself. So when I headed into high school, obviously I had been brought up in a family and a community, like the rock community in Melbourne and everything, that have always been so supportive, so inclusive. So when I headed into high school, it was very, very different to that. And I couldn't understand how people would be mocking me for something that I really, really loved. And it's funny because it kind of turned on its head towards the end of high school, and people would start saying, obviously, like when I got things like the Fender endorsement that would come up to me and be like, oh, I heard about that. I'm so proud of you. And it just kind of messed with my head a bit because I was like, you were the ones who were harassing me before and you were hating on what I was doing. But when it's definitely a case of tall poppy syndrome here in Australia. And I think it's kind of sad to be honest with you. But like I said, I had a couple of really, really great supportive friends and I was not mad that I didn't have more than like two or three friends in high school because
all you need.
They were just really, really loyal and that's all I needed.
Yeah, that's all you need. So in high school, you mentioned, you know, it was a little rough. So, and now you're involved with, what is it? The Metalheads for Bullying
Against
or something
bullying.
Like that?
Yes. So
tell me about that.
So I'm a Metalheads Against Bullying ambassador and I'm so, so grateful to be one. I think that sharing my story the decision to share my story was something that I was kind of umming and ahhing for a while there. When this opportunity arose to be an ambassador, it was a no-brainer for me because I was reading stories of people that have gone through similar things to me. And obviously, if I could help one person through sharing my story, I will absolutely do that. It was just a really, really cool experience. So many people were so, so supportive throughout the entire me kind of showing the internet what I had been through and telling them about my experience. So it was the Metalheads Against Bullying community is just so inclusive and that's what I love about them. And I'm really, really stoked to be a part of it.
Okay. Well, good. That's good when you can do something like that, you know, especially something that affected you before.
Absolutely.
So what do you think's been the most challenging part of being a musician so far? At your age?
Yeah, for sure. I think in terms of challenges, I think high school obviously was a huge challenge for me because people didn't really see what I was about and it was coming to terms with that. But after you kind of get over that hurdle, it was kind of it's kind of really awesome for me because I knew that when I was going into the music industry, this was going to be a regular occurrence. Not everyone's going to understand or like what you're doing. So I think that having that experience kind of primed me for what I'm going to experience in the music industry. I think it's always hard when you have keyboard warriors and stuff kind of typing things and, you know, they would never say them to your face or directly you. But for me, honestly, I think understanding that I am a bridging artist and kind of people getting their heads around that was kind of a difficult thing for me because I wasn't portraying myself as a full blown metalhead or like, I know I'm a rock artist, but I have elements of mainstream. I'm absolutely aware of that. So when people are saying that I don't know the bands I'm wearing of t-shirts, I absolutely do. They're my favorite bands. I'm not what we call here a cotton on t-shirt wearer. I think it's the same thing as wearing a t-shirt from like, I don't know what your favorite, like what your American stores are like there. In Australia, if you're wearing a cotton on t-shirt of Def Leppard and you don't know the band, it's kind of a little bit, you know, you'll get
same thing here.
Yeah. So, but I absolutely know all the bands. I've probably seen most of them as well. So that's one thing that I kind of try to drive because you can get confused. I completely understand that, but I know what I'm talking about in terms of my bands and everything.
Right. I still have all of my band's t-shirts from when I was younger and used to go to all the shows. I still have all the original ones.
That's incredible. Yeah, I constantly pick out my dad's ones from when he was like my age. And I'm like, I'm stealing that. That doesn't fit you anymore. I can cut that and make that look cool.
Yeah. I try to put some of them on and it doesn't work. And some of them, I don't know. It was the time, but some of them are like cut at my belly.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Glad there's no pictures of that around.
It's funny because I was actually with a family friend recently, and I was like looking through all his old t-shirts and everything. And he was like, I wish I didn't cut these into a singlet. That was kind of like was the vibe then. And I was like, no, it's cool. Like I actually dig it. But he was like, I wish I didn't touch it because now I could have actually worn it, but I can't.
Yeah. No, I have a few of those cut all the way down the side there. And it's like, and I tied it together. And like, what the hell was I thinking? Oh my God. So you make videos a lot too, I noticed, which not a lot of people do. Especially on being an indie artist. What do you have, does your dad help with that? Or, I mean, how do you get those done?
In terms of music videos, is that what you're referring
to? Yeah.
So absolutely. I've worked with a couple of people that have produced and kind of put out the music videos that I do. I try to release music videos quite consistently because I think it goes alongside the song, and I love releasing them together. And obviously there's a storyline, and like I was saying previously, I think there's a magic to performing and making sure that people are seeing that aspect of the song too, and how you kind of relate to the lyrics and everything. And you can see that in the expression on my face when I am performing things like Wannabe in the clips. So I think that was really important for me to do every single time I release something. But in terms of just videos in general, I think documenting everything is really important. I really want to see and be able to reflect and look back on what kind of artist I was, or vocally how I was at this age. And I think I've already started to do that and kind of pick out things from when I was 13, 14 and be like, I've learned a lot since then. I can do this with my my range now. I couldn't do that before. So this is a lot about my father, but my dad really instilled in me from a young age to make sure that you're looking back on everything that you have previously done, because it does make you a stronger musician, absolutely. And you are always learning and listening to yourself. As much as some people hate it, it's the best thing for you as an artist.
Yeah. You ever listen back and go, oh my God, that's terrible?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I think most musicians will say that. Like, definitely, sometimes you're not going to have a fantastic day vocally, or you're not going to be, in the right mindset, but that's definitely okay. And it's all about learning and progressing and getting better.
Yeah. That's got to be hard as a vocalist, I always thought. Because like, if you have a bad night, that's pretty noticeable, or a bad recording, whereas like myself, I'm a bass player, so I can make a bad note here and there. No one's going to really notice that as much, but a singer, forget about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's also a thing that some people need to learn as well, because there are so many different elements that come into play when with vocals. For instance, if the vocalist gets sick, and I know COVID, obviously, that's a huge thing at the moment. So if the vocalist gets sick, if the weather changes when you fly over, if you were on an airplane previously, you have dry throat, like this. There's so many elements that come into play when you're performing. So obviously when people are like that was not fantastic vocally. You have to think about every single element that the artist has encountered that week prior, or a couple of weeks prior even.
Yeah. What do you think when you see some of these artists that you used to listen to singing now, for example? Well, I'm not going to mention names, but some of them aren't quite that great on video, still trying to do it. What do you feel about that? Think they should keep trying, or do you think it's time to throw in the hat?
I love all these artists, so I'm not in the position to say anything negative, obviously. But I think also making sure that it is a game, obviously. You have to make sure that you keep your vocals in the best state you can possibly do for it. And I think obviously when other elements like drugs and alcohol and things come into play, it does make a huge difference. And keeping up, making sure you have a good fitness routine and everything, it's a huge thing. And I'm constantly reminded of how distressed your vocals can become when you introduce elements like that.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, some artists obviously have abused some of those things. So it's difficult to kind of watch and see that kind of the downfall of that. But obviously we have the great moments and stuff to reflect on. So I think that that's important. But yeah, I think it's keeping your vocals in the best shape possible. It's really, really important.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good that you see that, because a lot of people, I'm sure back then didn't even think of that.
You know what I mean? Absolutely.
Did you get formal training singing? Did you get lessons?
Yes.
You did? Yes. Okay.
So I initially actually started training vocally with the singer from the Radio Sun, Jason Old, of my dad's band. And now I'm training with a vocalist here in Melbourne, and she's absolutely fantastic. Adore everything she's done. And she's made me definitely a stronger singer, and she's kind of shown me a lot of ways to overcome some of those elements that I was discussing before. And it's really important to know your way around the muscle, because vocal cords, they can be very, very interesting muscles, and that's the thing. You have to understand that it is a muscle, and it will obviously vary on certain days depending on what you've encountered.
Now, when did you release your EP? How long ago?
Yeah, so the EP was released, I think it was the 1st of September. Okay. So yeah, I was really, really stoked to have that out there. Like I was saying, the EP was definitely something, like we were talking about reflection before. I think it does really show my growth as an artist over the last 2 years since I've released Broken Hearted, my debut EP. And I think that's really important for sure, to be able to understand that I'm always going to be growing and progressing.
So did that all mess with the release of it, or no? Like, did you have plans that you couldn't fulfill?
Yeah, so definitely. I was supposed to play live. I think it was the first date was in June or July, and now it's February next year.
Yeah.
Here in Melbourne. So that was obviously kind of a hard pill to swallow, because I love playing live so much, and my band and I had been rehearsing all the time leading up to it. So it's difficult, obviously, because that's my favorite thing in the world, apart from obviously producing and writing the music, performing and connecting with people. Yeah, it is definitely a difficult thing to kind of digest, but I'm really, really excited to get back out there and tour and play and connect with fans.
Yeah. Are things open up out there yet or no?
Everything's open currently. Okay. So yeah, we had the gig booked for next year a while ago, just in case anything did happen. We only opened up very, very recently, because it is the double vaccination thing here. So you have to show your vaccination at every shopping center, venue, you know it all. You have to show that you're vaccinated and proof of that. So we kind of wanted to put it in Feb just to be safe and make sure that we actually are able to play that gig.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's disappointing, but I think I've come to terms with it, and I'm just really stoked to be out there very, very soon.
So that show, you said it was what, February?
February 4th. Yeah.
Okay. Now, is that the official release, I guess, party for your EP?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. That's exciting.
Yeah, no, very, very exciting. And it's my hometown, so it's exciting to be playing here. And I've been, like I said, rehearsing for this for so long. We've been prepping for this show for a long while. So it'll be nice to be able to actually talk to people about the music and explain it a little bit further, because obviously we have formats like this where we're able to explain our music, but it's different when you're talking to someone face to face and explaining your experiences and everything you've been through.
What format is it going to be available on?
The show?
No, the EP, is it a CD?
Is it, what is it? The EP, it's on all digital platforms at the moment. So all the music that's on the Flirt EP, you can stream anywhere.
Is it gonna, you're gonna have a hard copy of it though, or no?
Yeah, yeah. So Flirt you can get via the Cassie Paris website. We have the hard copies. It's got my face on it. And sometimes it's funny because my friends will send me photos of like posters of my face. And I'm like, that's a little bit awkward. That's my face. And they're like, I can see you. I can see you. It's super cool though. So so the Flirt EP with the that's the wannabe. I'm getting confused on my own music here and the cover art. No, the wannabe one has the finger and the Flirt EP's got the side eye. So okay. Look out for that
okay.
one.
Okay. So where can they get that now? Your website?
Yeah, my website, CassidyParis.com.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you're pretty active on social media, so people can find you on all platforms?
All platforms. Yeah. Cassidy Paris Official.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you know what, Cassie? I appreciate you taking the time chatting with me this evening. Well,
thank you. So
morning
much
for you.
Yes, the morning. But thank you so much for having me. Like I said, I've been wanting to do one of these for ages. So
yeah,
super, super cool to be able to hop on here and have a chat.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. I apologize. We were trying to line this up a couple weeks ago now, I guess, right? A month or so?
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, so we finally got it done. So that's awesome. Best of luck awesome. To you, okay?
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right. We'll see you. Bye-bye.